you can look at a specific issue like, say, online privacy. In order to understand the landscape in which online privacy plays out, you need to understand the technology. You need to understand what is possible to do technically. You need to understand how today's technologies actually work and what would be the impact of technology changing in a particular way. And, of course, there are, you know, difficult public policy issues as well that go on there about balancing different interests, balancing the interest of members of the public in controlling information about themselves and protecting their privacy against the desire not to overregulate reasonable commercial practices. But ultimately, the playing field on which that is played out is a technical one. And so you need to be able to think about what's possible technically, what would happen if a particular rule were made, and so on.
Talk a little bit about this discussion, because I know you focused on privacy and security and the relationship thereof a lot, both in your writings. And it seems one of the big challenges of that is it seems like both security and privacy in some ways are moving targets in terms of what people consider to be important.
Well, they are moving targets in a bunch of ways. One of the ways they're a moving target is that the technology is always changing on you, and so the things that you worry about and the sorts of innovation that you see happening will change over time. It's certainly true that the public expectations about privacy and security do change over time, although I think they change more slowly than some people would have you think. I don't think there's been a huge change in the way that people actually think about their privacy from a previous generation. Although I do think we need to,
because I think the conventional wisdom would be that these young kids don't really care about their privacy and they post everything on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and so they don't privacy just isn't something that speaks to them in the same way that it may speak to older generations.
Yeah, certainly a lot of people say that, but I don't think that's the whole story. I think the evidence is that young people actually do take pains to protect their privacy, and they actually do think about what they put out there and what they don't. People like Dana Boyd at Microsoft have done a lot of studies about the actual behavior of kids on social networks and online, and found that although they do put some information about themselves out there, there's other information that they really do try to protect. In some ways, you know, the way that kids use Facebook to communicate is similar to the way they've used other media to communicate. They certainly have an image of themselves that they're trying to project to their peers, and they want to be able to control that image and look the way they want to look to the world.
There have been these, and more so in the last couple years, the creation of chief technology officers, almost as on par with chief information officers. How do you see those jobs being different or complementary? How do they work together?
There's not a completely standardized use of these terms that would apply across all organizations. But I can speak to my own situation. One way to draw the line is to say that the chief information officer's job is making sure that the technical infrastructure that the organization uses is as good as it can be and is run in a reliable and secure way. Basically making sure that the electronic systems are working the way they should be. Whereas a chief technology officer, in my case, chief technologist, is engaged more in issues of policy and in issues about strategy for the organization, as well as things like helping the organization build up the technical skill set of their workforce.
I've at least in my 20 years of covering this stuff, it seems to me that this is a very unique point in time in terms for government, where you have all these technologies that are some of them amazingly inexpensive to roll out, but that give you access to information and allow you to get information out in just very unique ways, share information, all those kinds of things. Not to mention this this change in workforce and an administration that really, I mean, a president who says, "Hey, I need a BlackBerry or some kind of mobile device that's important to me." All those seem to combine to be a pretty remarkable time for government.
I think it really is. As a technologist myself, it's gratifying to see, to have seen government catch on to this and really be trying to move ahead to make the best use of these technologies. That said, I think it's going to take a long time for a government or really any organization or society generally to fully absorb the impact of these technologies. Technology lets you do new things, but it takes you often a while to figure out what's the highest and best use of the new capabilities for your organization.
I was raised in the Silicon Valley, and I've seen all these Silicon Valley folks come into Washington, and now they're, you know, it's been a couple of years, and they're starting to get a little antsy. It's like, hold on, why doesn't this happen faster? And I've said to them, you know, the government takes time and almost is designed to operate slowly because A, the size and just it's government. It takes time almost to get used to that kind of change.
Certainly it does. But I think this applies not only to government when it comes to absorbing technology, but it applies to big companies and it applies to social organizations and society generally. It takes a long time for people to change their practices and to move beyond the first step of adopting a new technology, which is typically to use the new technology to do the same things you did before, but to do them a little faster or cheaper. It's really only when people start to reorganize their lives and the workings of their organizations to really take advantage of technology that it's only then that you see the deeper change.
It reinvents how you do it rather than email is really just faster postal mail.
Right.
It's when it becomes a different way of doing business that real amazing things can happen.
Exactly. When you change the pace of business or when you change the way your organization is structured or the way your employees interact with the public, for example, that's when you really see the big changes. And it takes a while to figure out what's the best way to do that. But I'm actually pretty confident, and you know, knowing what I know about what's happening in government generally and knowing what I know about the FTC specifically, that it is a place where I can help to make changes happen And obviously, that's going to go at a government pace. But I think when we look back, we'll say this is a pace that was fast, at least by government standards.
Yeah. How do you measure? What do you? Because you're taking a 1 year sabbatical, so you have to do some stuff fairly quickly. How do you measure whether you're keeping yourself happy?
I guess I think I'll know as I go along whether I feel like I'm having an impact. I think ultimately, if you're in this kind of job, you're going to like it or not, depending on whether you're actually having a positive impact on what's happening out there in the world and what the agency is doing. So I think only time will tell on that.